Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Father, as we get into your word, we thank you. You said it's the entrance of your word that brings light and life. And we pray that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will shine bright in this place today, this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would grace me and this congregation with your presence, that you would do the work of arranging, rearranging all that is prepared in a way that pleases you and builds the hearer. I'm asking you, God, to give me precise words, specific words, unique words for this your people, something that cannot be stolen by the enemy, but is planted and will bring forth a harvest and a return. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, and every glad heart say amen. Amen. Throw your arms around three people before you take your seat. Tell them you're glad you're here. Now, if you don't know them, you should ask permission before you hug them now. Don't just go touching people without permission. Can I have, ridiculous. Can I have every man in here to raise your hand? Every man, keep it up. There are very few things in society and in the world that are calling you out to be your best, to give your best, to be leaders, husbands, to be the strength of a community. Leave your hand up. At some point, you begin to feel that pressure in that arm, that deltoid, right here. Because it's like when we raise our hands to Jesus, we actually get stronger. I'm asking you guys to not just do it if you feel you need it, not just come and sign up for the conference if, you know, just to make me feel good, but when we do something in the house, it's a prophetic message. It's a prophetic assignment. And all of us need to do it in unity. We are arming you to take back your life, to take back your home, to take back your community. And you can do that not by being in isolation, but with other brothers. Your hand is up. That little muscle might hurt just a little bit when you leave. Just remind you to go out in the lobby and sign up. I'll tell you, all right, put your hand down. So you can do that with men. Now, if I did that with the lady, she says, he's cruel, we leaving. Y'all just leave. Okay, these baskets you hear will be here for several weeks. It's to remind us that why are we building a building? Well, number one, it's because God told us to, but he gave us a specific word that it was harvest time, according to John 14. We're to pray for laborers. And in that, it cost us something. Cost us time, cost us talent, cost us treasure. For the next several weeks, I want these things up as a reminder to us of what we have the opportunity to do in partnership with God. It's not a trick. It's not a ploy. It's an at-will type of thing. But you need the message, the vision, to stay in front of you so you can remember the why. And I'll talk about that more later. So let's get into the message today. Go Psalm 90. He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. And Psalm 139. And Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11. I'm giving you all those because we might not get to each scripture. Psalm 90, verse 12. Let's put that on the screen. Ready. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Today's message is about your ability to count the value of time. the value of a day, a value of an hour, a value of a minute, the value of a second. In a second, your life can be changed for the better or for the worse. In a second. And so what you do with time is important. That's your son. I don't call me him. I want to say I look better than that, but that's wrong. That would be throwing shots. That's throwing shots on church. But I did throw it, and I want to make that clear. It's true. Time is constantly, rapidly moving. You're either taking advantage of time or you're absolutely wasting it. The younger you are, the more you feel that you have the enormous amount of time you need to do nothing for periods or something for periods. The more mature you become, the more you know that time is winding up because your body begins to tell you, try to do it again, your hamstring gonna be gone. Time, Father time, time seems to be so precious, so valuable, but are you and I handling time as a precious gift from God? Scripture says, I'll just get to my final scripture as a punchline in Ephesians, says, redeem the time, for the days are short. Redeem it. What does this mean in the ritual? Means take advantage of the opportunity. What? That time gives you. People are asked all the time, if you had your whole life to do over again, would you do anything different? And all of the, see, because you a real saint. You know, yes, you would. Because I get this little Christian will answer, I wouldn't do anything different because even my failures have taught me, you know, stuff. And so, you know, stop it. Stop. And we say stuff like, if I knew then what I know now, then I wouldn't have. But here's the reality that Romans tells us. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. For that which may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, even his eternal power and his Godhead. In other words, every man is therefore without excuse. If I knew better, yes, you did know. God writes the law on our heart, and then he gives us a conscience to say, you know that's right. Oh, you know that's wrong. Yes, I would do stuff differently because I've been treacherous in my life. I've been willfully disobedient. That means I knew what the righteous way was, and I stepped over the line anyway. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been there? You saw the line. You walked to the edge. You were just going to look over. You didn't know your head was so heavy you was going to tip and fall. Because I just thought about y'all little tweeters. Y'all would be tweeting that out. See? You got to, that's a tweet devil. Cast that tweeting devil out. This is a long message for how casual I'm being. Listen, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you not have that you need to take advantage of the opportunity of time? Well, I'm just waiting on the right circumstances. I'm waiting on the right amount of money. I'm waiting on the right person. I'm waiting on the right job. I'm always waiting and wasting time when God says, I've already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You've got everything you need right now, but are you taking advantage of time? It's early, isn't it? I get going early. Time. Are you okay? Ecclesiastes. The brother quoted the scripture. You love how I called you a brother, Dan. I feel all the brotherhood on you this morning. See, y'all should have clapped on that so he'd know he had brotherhood. Y'all just acknowledge that. Verse 1, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the sun. For everything there is a season, for everything there is a time, for everything. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather away stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to seek and a time to lose. Time to keep and a time to cast away. Time to tear and a time to sow. Time to keep silent, a time to speak. Time to love, a time to hate. Time to war, time for peace. What gain has the worker for his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. An embryo is not beautiful. It's a gross glob that, given time, can look like me. Now, did I say that? I meant my wife. I did not mean me. That's where that word came from. It takes time to be the end result that God put in your heart. It takes time for you to be developing to the man you want to be, the marriage you want to be, the entrepreneur you want to be. It takes time. But the beautiful thing is, God has promised that in time, he'll make you look like you want to look, and he ordained for you to look. Amen. Don't rush it. That means if he makes all things beautiful in time, that you are beautiful. Amen. You are beautiful. Just look at somebody right now and just look at them and just say, you're beautiful. Now, if they single and you single, then it's all right. Now, if you didn't look at somebody's spouse, you know, you meant that in a certain way. Just want to clear that up in Jesus' name. You're beautiful. Also, he has put eternity in the heart of man, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, God puts this sense on the inside of you that there's some unending placement. There's something. It's him. He's eternal, immortal, invisible. There's something, and it's him that's in you that you know that's bigger than time. And then he gives you the desire to know it. He said, but you won't figure it out in this lifetime fully. So let me help you understand, without a lot of time to teach you this particular point. What helps you do time the best, I'm giving you the secret before we get into the lesson, is to seek God constantly, because he is the only definition of eternity. And what he puts in your heart is a desire for him that cannot be fulfilled until you see him face to face. Glory to God. I would slip if I ran there. See, I was going to run on the carpet. I got to move on. The saints ain't ready to shout on that right there. Ooh, God. Verse 12. I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as you live. How do you know if you're in the will of God? There's a joy. I didn't say happiness. We'll get to happiness later. Joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. There's a joy. And there's good things you do as you live a life seeking and pleasing him. So if you've had to make this
dismissal of your conscience to do your work, you're in the wrong work. If your conscience is telling you you shouldn't sell that, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be in that. You shouldn't. You cannot make a practice of violating your conscience and get to anything that you love. You won't be joyful. You'll be miserable. You might have some money, but you'll be mad about it. How many young people have I met who told me, I'll just tell my own family, in the raised to be gospel music singers. He told me, well, I know it's against my nature. I know it's against my calling. I know it's against my purpose. I know it's against his pleasure. But I've got a plan that if I can just cross over and do a little bit of what the world does without being as bad as the world is, that I'll rescue them and end up shipwrecked. See, life, I'm going to move on. Verse 13. Also, that everyone should eat, drink, and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Taking pleasure in your work. Pleasure in the time he gives you to work. This is a gift. The gift man was given was an opportunity to get into time to seek him for his divine purpose, his divine will, and his divine pleasure for your life, and make it a pleasure to you to please him, and then live that time out in faithfulness, that when you get to the next life, he'll reward you. Oh, I just gave you purpose. So don't say that you're in the 86th percentile percent of people who say they live without purpose. You got a purpose. It's his purpose. Therefore, what you do or don't do with time tells you a lot. Tells you if you value that internal knowing that you don't know enough to do your work and to have pleasure in it, because you don't know if it pleases him. Then you've got to seek him until you get a word on the inside that gives you peace about what you're practicing and planning. Oh, goody, goody. See, the life expectancy of man is on one hand increasing, on another hand, it's still limited. We are living a little longer than some other generations, but not long enough. In fact, statistics will say we don't even really want to live that long. So you hear somebody say, I want to get to 100. Why? You might not work. But we keep on reading about people like Moses and Caleb, whose eyes didn't get dim, And even in their 80s, they had the strength of a man equal or greater than a man that was in his 40s. Who told you that you were supposed to just go silently into the night? God gave you the gift of time, that when you seek him, when you get his word, you claim his promise over you. Wait a minute. This moment that I have has all of this provision within it. And I demand in the name of Jesus that it come forth. How about learning to start dealing life a blow instead of letting life deal you a blow? Well, you know, life punching me around right now. I'm a little punch drunk. Don't really know what. Who told you that life is supposed to get the opportunity to just smack you around? You start dictating everything about life. Oh, my Jesus, I just want to just go to heaven. Good as I can make it right then. My mother, she started me in school early, so I started at 4. Not preschool, regular kindergarten. A young 4. I didn't make it through kindergarten. I had to do kindergarten again. I'm supposed to say, oh. Yeah.
Did it again. I did kindergarten twice. Praise God. Yes, yes. I'm still, I'm working through it right now. In the fifth grade, I passed. Be excited to pass the fifth grade. Where I'm from, you get to go to middle school. You know what my mom said after I passed? Baby, you know what? You know you're not smart enough to do the sixth grade yet. I want you to do the fifth grade again. I didn't like my mama for years. She's gonna pay for that. But you know what? Because she did not let me waste time thinking I was something that I was not, it made me struggle with a new passion. And the struggle to break out of my deficiency became so ferocious that I built up the right speed, the right momentum, the right work ethic to get to where I am and where I am going. You see, it's the struggle with time that over time you can become something beautiful when you look like something that is a failure. I'm sorry, I'm going to be probably speaking like that the rest of the message. In Dan Miller's book, there's a scenario that Pastor Rice and I found on a walk we had together yesterday. A caterpillar had fallen from a tree, and you could see an internal struggle with on the inside. And in his book, he talks about a young boy who wanted to open up the caterpillar thing and let the butterfly on out. Help the brother. But he found it didn't fly. Because it's only in the struggle over time that allows his wings to be produced. Oh, Jesus. Just go to Psalm 139. Y'all got to put it up on the screen fast. I can preach it faster if y'all get it up on the screen for me. Thank you. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. This is time then. When did he search me? When did he know me? From the beginning, before I was. What do you mean he knows me? He knows what you think like, what you act like. He knows what your potential is. He knows what the probability of where your fall might be is. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Nothing is taking him by surprise. He's already thought about where you could succeed and where you might fail. That's why he said, I'm a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Because just in case you choose a path opposite to my will, I want you to know I've already predetermined in the past that I would be a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. So I'm only following the plan that I already had in time past. That means when David was writing this, that he was aware, that God was aware that he was a shepherd, and he was aware that he was a worshiper. He was aware that he was a warrior. He's aware that he's going to be an adulterer. The potential for it. The potential for murder. All of this knowledge has not changed his mind about creating you, has not changed his mind about loving you and knowing you and hanging with you and being with you and searching you out. And if you don't think that's good news, I don't know what can be good news. You know me. You know my tendency to stray. You know my tendency to go this way and that way. And it says like this, you know when I sit down, you know when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar off, you search out my paths and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways, not some of my ways, all my ways. You know exactly what I'm going to be thinking, how I'm going to be thinking it, how I want to do everything. You're not confused about me. When you're praying and you're crying out to God and you get to that point where you're frustrated and you say, you just don't understand. Is it that God doesn't understand or that you are tired of giving time to letting yourself become beautiful? Amen. What is it?
time. What do you have now? Skip down to the next set of verses. Skip. Here's now. Where shall I go from your spirit? Right now. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go to get away from God, his plan, his knowing where you were going to go? He knows where, David, your feet are going to go when you're getting ready to sin. He knows, David, that when you started to, let me read the scripture before I get on to it. Where shall I flee from your presence? Or sin, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning to the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I shall say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me should be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is bright as day, for the darkness is as light to you. Yes. For you form, okay. I'm sorry, I went fast. My point is that David, even when he was turning away from God, God knew, and God was there. When he was looking at his form of modern-day pornography, he should have been out fighting with the kings. Instead, he was out on his balcony, where he obviously knew people bathed in a way that he could see. God knew that that tendency could creep back in his life to hang out on the balcony and peek over. And where could he go from the eye of the Lord that beholds the good and the evil of my life? Where can you get away from his presence, his pleasure, and his work? Where can you get a moment's break, a moment of time away from God? Is there a secret place where you get away with your thoughts and your actions independent of him? Does it exist? Where can I go from your presence? You're always there. You're always around. You're always there. Brother just wanna have a moment, but none will be given. Verse 16. He's thought through your future. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more than the sands. I awake and I am still with you. You know, one of the most beautiful things about this is that God has a plan for all of us, independent of his knowledge of our sin, misgivings, our iniquities, our failings, our rebellion because we don't like his structure, his time structure, his format, that he hasn't changed, and he had a plan. And God knows that sometimes we're not offering him the most beautifully mature version of ourselves, but he's patient. The Bible says also, for whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. In whom he predestined, he also called. Who he called, he also justified. Who he justified, he also glorified. That God has given you all of these things past tense. He already planned them. That means he believes in you. And he put the will of the Savior in your heart. It made David, as we go on in those verses, change his attitude. He said, Lord, I'm going to hate what you hate. And I want you to get those enemies. I'm not going to enjoy that. And I want you to search me. I want you to ask God what David did at the end of this chapter. He asked God to search him. Search me, God. Am I a time waster? Am I taking your gift and throwing it away? am I allowing myself to be, as my grandmother would say, robbed by the ignorant box? Not ignorant, ignorant. Ignorant box, the TV. What's robbing you? What loop is your brain on that's robbing you of seeking him so that you can live purposeful with your time? What's preventing you from tapping into the divine plan of God who is not keeping it secret from you? So I say to you, redeem the time. Take advantage of the opportunity. I'm going to leave you with a poem and a final instruction. You can stand on your feet so you can hear it. I love this poem. I love this poem. It says this. I want everybody to stand so you can see. You look me in my eyes, you can get it good. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving in its place something I have traded. I want it to be a gain, not a loss. Good, not evil. Success, not failure. So that I do not forget the price that I paid for it. For the future is just a whole string of nouns. I want you to reach on your right-hand side. There are some papers that look like this. It's a blank check. Pass it to your checks on your right side. Take one and pass it down. Take one and pass it down. This is the end of service ministry team. You can come on down. Notice there's a. Therefore, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. This is a blank check that you could give to God and to be found faithful. This is not a follow-up check. Your church is not following you up. This is your blank check. This is your blank check. You sign it. We can't read your signature. You can't read mine. You don't know. You date it. And on the back, I give you some hints of how you can commit some time to God, talent to God, treasure to God. Doesn't matter where you commit it. It's not about, this is beyond our church. This is about his pleasure for your whole life. And all I want you to do is, whether it's today or these baskets are going to be out, I want you to find in one of these prayer meetings we're having at 6 a.m. and noon that you didn't come to last week, or Wednesday night or Sunday, or right here, God might convict you not to leave without making a commitment. You're going to see it again. Don't worry, because we're not going to change the station. But how does he get your time? How does he get your talent? How does he get your treasure? And are you giving him a blank check? So when you pray, put it in your Bible and start your conversation. God, what do you want from me? Lord, bless your people. As we leave this place without your presence, keep us in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Dismiss. We love you. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, we're right down here to pray for you. Salvation, healing, breakthrough. You're not connected in a group. Don't just walk out. We won't pray for you.